Grace, mercy, and peace to you this day from our newborn Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't that many years ago when a gentleman's handshake meant something. Quite simply, that the person would keep his word. Unfortunately, however, times have changed. We live in a world where promises are broken. Pledges are made only to be forgotten. Assurances are given, then ignored. And that's why we're a bit skeptical when someone says, "You have my word." It's different, though, when God speaks. Take, for example, our Old Testament reading for today. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. If you and I said those same four words, what would happen? Nothing. Oh, we could pretend to be God. We could go over to the light switch and flip on the switch. But we'll never be able to do what God does. Because compared to us, when God speaks, it is not mere talk about something. No, to the contrary, God's word does what it says. And throughout the Old Testament, we continue to see that. Every time God gave his word, whether it was to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, to Moses or even David, every time God gave his word that something would happen, it did. It was a guarantee. And it's for that reason, and for that reason alone, that we are gathered here today. From the Garden of Eden, the Lord God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God promised that he would send someone to fix once and for all what sin had brought into the world. The only question that remained was who? Well, now we know. The all-powerful creative word that said, "Let there be light," that word became flesh. And that's what John wrote in our gospel lesson for today. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. How many of you have heard that passage before? Raise your hand. Okay. I think all of us have. But you ever ask yourself a question, why did John write it the way he did? Why did John write that the word became flesh? He could have said the word became a body. He could have said the word became a man. He could have even said the word became a person, or the word became a human being. But yet John writes for a reason, the word became flesh. So why? Well, keep in mind that back then John's audience were the Greeks and the Romans. And to them, flesh meant one thing. It was something to be destroyed. To put it another way, flesh was worth nothing. What mattered most was the spirit. Therefore, no God in his right mind would ever deal with something as degrading as flesh. Yet this is exactly what our God did. The Word, the Son of God, and God the Son became flesh. He didn't change into flesh. He didn't morph into flesh. He didn't transition into flesh. No, that's not what John writes. The same God who said, "Let there be light," became flesh in the body of a Jewish peasant girl named Mary. Because if the Word changed, if he morphed or if he transitioned into flesh, he would no longer be God. But remaining what he was, Jesus Christ became what we are. Remaining what he was, God, Christ became what we are, flesh. And John drives his point home when he writes about Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate. Pilate has Jesus' flesh torn, dressed in purple and crowned with thorns. And then he brings Jesus up before the crowd and says, "Behold the man. Here's the man, flesh and blood, a beaten body." This is God we are talking about. The God who is dismissed, demeaned, and left for dead. But not for long. John outruns Peter to the tomb. He looks in and believes. Jesus says, "Mary." And Mary Magdalene cries out, "Rabboni." The Emmaus disciples recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. And when he sees the Savior's flesh mark with scars, Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Sin is forgiven. The grave is defeated. Death is dead. The shining light breaks through the darkness. Last night I said in my sermon that Christmas could be the best of times. Christmas can also be the worst of times. The darkness of time. What's your darkness today? An opportunity missed? A marriage that didn't last? A loved one who's no longer with us? Or maybe it's something you did. Something that you feel that you have to live forever in the dark with. Jesus is the solution for every kind of darkness. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the solution for every kind of darkness. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in darkness will have the light of life." Whoever walks in darkness will have the light of life. Whoever is you. It's never too late to live in the light of God's love. It's never too late to receive God's marvelous light. We lose a lot in this life, don't we? We lose our jobs. We lose our opportunities. We lose some friendships, and yes, we even lose love. But we will never, ever lose the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let there be light. And there was light. The light that shone out from the manger shines on you. You have God's word on it. Merry Christmas. Amen.